James chapter 1. We'll take a look here at our continuing study in this book. We started that last Sunday evening and gave some introduction about it and got into the beginning of it. Here in James chapter 1, in verse number 1, James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, being written to the Jews, believing Jews, that James, the pastor of the church there at Jerusalem, it seems that we gather from the scriptures, from the book of Acts, that he is that pastor. He's an apostle. He's James the Less, the son of Thaddeus, as the scripture bears out. Also brother to Jude. And these seem to be the Lord's half-brothers. That's what I get out of the scripture, is that the Lord actually called some of his half-brothers to be apostles, and that James pastored that church there in Jerusalem, and that and used them to write James and the book of Jude. We mentioned about Jude and how he doesn't claim kinship to the Lord Jesus Christ, but claims him as Savior. He claims kinship to James, that James is his brother. But they both refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord, and they his servant. And so we want to see that. We took a look about asking for wisdom, and that this counting it all joy when you fall into different types of temptations or trials, if you will. If you take a look at those words, and had occasion to do that some since last Sunday, to kind of see that, we're going to see some things here this afternoon about the word temptations in verse number 2, and then the word temptation and related such down in verses 12 and 13. There is a difference that's there, and so we want to try to see that more clearly with the Lord's help and blessing. Ask of the Lord, He'll give you wisdom, verse 5. Ask in faith, don't be doubting, but go to the Lord knowing He has the power. As Stephen, as we've seen on Wednesday night, Stephen, a man full of faith. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Can't make up a mind. This sounds good today. This sounds good the next day. Well, this sounded pretty good the first time I heard it. Now I'm back over here at this. And when there is indecision in this life at times where we're trying to find out what the truth is, trying to find out what the right way is, but we need to go to the Lord. This double-minded man here, what's he doing? He's depending on his own ability and his own knowledge. And that will cause us to waver and blow around and not receive anything from the Lord. Then it goes on, and the thought is changed somewhat in verse number 9, James 1, verse number 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. There's one person there, one that's of low degree, the Scripture says. Verse 10, but the rich in that he is made low. So now there's this contrast between people. The one that is low, of a low degree, let him rejoice that he's being exalted, but the rich. And that word rich, well, if we take and look at it from the standpoint of this earth, worldly possessions and such as that, He's going to speak to us about the way that men esteem things, but then he's going to tell us how God esteems things. And that's the way that we need to see it. We need to see things the way the Lord sees it. Let the brother of low degree, he even adds that reference there, brother. There in verse number 10, the rich, well, he's a brother also, but that emphasis is not put there because of the warning that's going to come there in verse number 11 to that one. I find it interesting. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Well, from the worldly standpoint, if we take that view of it, we find a person that, in the way that men estimate things, possessions, wealth, money, influence, things such as that. The one that's saved, even though they don't have any of those things, they are very, very eternally wealthy indeed, aren't they? They are. We are. It is the case. Even though Lazarus was at the rich man's gate begging for crumbs, because he had the Lord as his Savior, he was eternally wealthy. The rich man who died and woke up in hell, His earthly wealth did him no good, did it? His worldly influence did him no good. The legacy, maybe even, that the rich man tried to write for himself, it did him no good, did it? Because he was devoid of the Lord. He was indeed poor. He was poor. He was spiritually poor. But those that are not wealthy according to the way of the Lord, in the way of the world, if they have the Lord as Savior, have we not been made joint heirs with Christ? Have we not been caused to sit in heavenly places? Right? Are we not called of the Lord joint heirs with Christ? Rich, made rich, exalted to be there, to be made kings and priests, the book of Revelation tells us. Let the brother of low degree, let him rejoice. Let him be happy. Let him be just ate up with it, tore up about it, that he's been exalted because he's been visited by the Lord. Don't keep your eyes so much on this life, but all comprehend the way that the Lord looks at things. He's been made wealthy. The one that has had their soul saved by the Lord has been made wealthy and has been exalted indeed. If you and I go with our individual net worth, or even if our collective net worth, and we went and said, we'd like an audience with President Obama, we would be laughed to scorn, wouldn't we? Because our collective wealth isn't a drop in the bucket to make such a man want to visit with us. Oh, but if we were billionaires, we would get an audience with President Obama, wouldn't we? Oh, yeah. Because we'd have the influence of that money. If we had power, we had influence, or we had control of companies or corporations or organizations or such, yes, we would be granted office or audience with the president. But think of it. This one of low degree that's been saved, they will live eternally in the presence of the king. Been exalted, amen? Been exalted. Fishermen taken from Galilee to be the ministers of the Lord and to be ministers and used of him during that time of transition of the Lord building his churches and taking the keys of the kingdom from Israel and giving them to his church and be used of the Lord to set the doctrine, the operation in the Lord's church, and what the ministry is to be for the next 2,000 years plus. Isn't that exalted? I mean, that's a move up from fishing to being an apostle, wasn't it? Yes. You know what? In becoming the pastor here at Olmsted Baptist Church, not because of me, by no means because of me or my ability, but just the blessing and the goodness of the Lord to see how it is with being a pastor and that calling of being a pastor by the Lord and the Lord moving through the church here, and what a connection that has to the Lord's work and to eternity. In heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth, because the Lord and the church's call for me to be a pastor and the Lord comes back tonight, in eternity I will be reckoned as one of the Lord's ministers, having served him in this way. And I pray, I want you to pray for me that I would do it well. But you know what? Being a repair engineer, repair technician for hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, multi-million dollar pieces of equipment or plants, in heaven, that won't mean nothing. Even if I would be the best of the best at that, it will mean nothing in the new heaven and the new earth. The likes of me, I've been exalted. I've been exalted. I was poor. I was of low degree. And the Lord has taken me and been pleased to use me this way. He saved us. He's exalted us. He's made promises to us. And we need to rejoice in that. Oh, are you glad the Lord saved you? Or are you kind of bothered by it? Oh, what I got to give up. I can't go do that. Can't go do that. Got to go to church. Got to do this. Got to give them a tithe. Or is it a blessing to be able to be up there near with the Lord and being apart with the Lord, been made apart by Him to where it makes you happy? Huh? Makes you happy. Wow. Wow. And the economy of the Lord, I just marvel at it. Give a drink of water. And you'll have that one to whom you give a drink of water. You'll have their reward. Isn't that something? Salem Missionary Baptist Church, Brother Philip called and said, hey, we can bust up the trip if we can come down to your place and spend the night. I said, yeah, come on, sounds good. And we have that privilege of being hospitable towards some of another one of the Lord's churches. It's opportunity, folks. It's opportunity to open up what we have to be able to help another. We that have desired such will have their reward. Amen? Yes. Look at the Lord's economy and consider it. Yeah, if we worry about the paint, and we worry about the trim, and we worry about the carpet, and we should well take care of things. But if we worry about that to the point that we don't want to use it, well, we'll have our reward, and it'll be clean. But the news is when this life's over with, it's all going to burn up. That picture is going to burn up. It's going to burn up. But if we can take it and use it, we can use it for the Lord's service. Oh, it'll be a blessing indeed. And that's the wonder of fellowship. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted by the Lord. Verse 10. But the rich. Let me get my collar undone there a little bit. But the rich, let him rejoice. Huh? But the rich in that he is made low. Well, if I've got influence, if I've got wealth, if I've got control or ability in the things of this world, you want me to rejoice because I'm being brought down? Well, what does any wealthy man, wealthy woman, wealthy boy, wealthy girl have that they haven't been given? Right? Well, I've worked hard for mine. Right? With the mind, breath, and ability, and health that God gave you. Amen. With the reason, with the understanding, with the ability to pursue that work that you've done, because God has given it to you. Yeah. It's what the Lord has done. It's what the Lord has done. Let the rich rejoice in that he is made low. Because I tell you what, even in all that the Lord has given us, when we compare to his wealth, how's it compare? It's puny, isn't it? It's a pittance. It is His blessing upon us. But to go and compete with God, there's no doing it, is there? There's no doing it. We couldn't... Remember when you was a kid, maybe, and maybe amongst boys it's more so, but you go trading punches on any scale and anything and anything that there is. You can't go trading punches with God. You can't put down your 100, he put down his 100, you put down your 1,000, he put down, he'll run you out. He'll empty you and won't even get started good. We can't outgive the Lord, can we? We cannot outperform him. We cannot outdo him. But the rich, let him rejoice in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. And you know what? You think about it. Anybody that lives in this country, anyone that lives in this country, is wealthier than many in other countries, aren't they? That's right. And so there is an essence that in the blessing of our country and the blessing of our nation, that compared to other nations and the citizens of those countries, we are all wealthy. And that's the blessing of the Lord upon us. And so there's the application that's here both ways. But he says, but the rich, don't trust in those riches, because rejoice in that you're made low. Rejoice that you can be used of the Lord and what the Lord has given you. Because remember, the flower of the grass As that, he shall pass away. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen in a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth it. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. In the estimation of wealth by the world, it comes to an end when you die. There is no rich man that was ever laying in a casket. Because as soon as that breath passes from him, as soon as that heart quits beating in her, the heirs want the stuff. It's just the way it works. No wealthy men, no wealthy women get buried. It's like the thing I heard of some time ago. A fellow said, he made his wife promise. He said, when I'm buried, I want you to bury me in there. I want you to bury me and put in my casket $1 million. All the wealth that I've earned all through my lifetime, I want you to put that $1 million in there in that casket. She said, okay. Had the funeral service, visitation, funeral service and all that. Everybody goes out. They're getting ready to close up the casket and everything. And the funeral director is over there and catches her taking the money out and everything. So, ma'am, your husband's wishes was that $1 million be put in there with him. She said, yeah, it's okay. And so he said, but he was really concerned about that because the fella had visited him also and said, make sure she does that. And so she says, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. So he gets it all out of there and everything. And said, well, they're taking the money out of the casket. How you're not abiding by your husband's wishes. And I promised him that I would. She says, Well, I'm going to do it this way. And what she does, she lays on his chest a check for $1 million. Because when you're dead, it's gone. It's gone. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter because it fades away. Let the brother of low degree rejoice that God has lifted him up, but the rich in that he is made low for the cause of Christ. Let it be that he understand the blessing that God has given us, that we're as a flower of the grass and we're going to pass away. Just like when Brother Nicky mows the grass out here, when you mow the grass at your house, it's not long that blade looks nothing like it was when it was attached. But it starts drying up in a hurry. And the next day, if there's a little bit of a breeze, it's gone, isn't it? And that's the way it is with you and me. Look in Romans chapter 12. Take a look here. Romans chapter 12. The Lord has blessed us. He's blessed us in so many ways. In Romans chapter 12, listen to what the world says, or the Word of God says. Verse number 6, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, that's why if we have it, it's a gift from the Lord. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, because there is such. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, pursue that. He that teacheth, pursue teaching. Or he that exhorteth, exhort. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. But here it says, for those that can give, he that giveth, he that has that he can give, do it with simplicity. Do it with simplicity. What's that word simplicity mean? Simplicity. Free from pretense and hypocrisy. Not giving, he that giveth, not give for a brag to be put on him or her. Not self-seeking, but an openness of heart manifesting itself by being generous. Given. If we have the wealth of this world, we have the ability of this world, and we seek to give to the Lord's service or to the helping of those others, alms, if you will, give it in simplicity. And when you give it, turn loose of it. When you give it, let it go. Let it go. Well, I didn't like the way they used it. Now listen, if you're giving it, let it go. If you're giving it because you're obeying the Lord, give it and let it go. If you're giving it to the church to do something in the church, give it and let it go. Don't take it as something that you would take back. Some power or opportunity that in the future you would remind folks that you did so. That's not given in simplicity. If the Lord is blessed to where one can give, one can give alms, one can give above that which is required of the Lord, give with simplicity. You go to help somebody out, give it with simplicity. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Over in Matthew chapter 6, let's take a look over there and see what the Lord says. Matthew chapter 6. A few words the Lord had to say of that one that was of low degree. But to the wealthy, to those that the Lord had prospered, He gave more of a warning. Why? Because we're susceptible to it, aren't we? We're susceptible to say, look at what I've done. Look at how much I've given. Look how much I've blessed. We're susceptible to taking that and putting it back in the face of the Lord. Well, Lord, I did this for you. But no, we're to give in simplicity. Give it. Enjoy giving it. And then leave it with the Lord. Leave it with the Lord for Him to do what He's promised He will do. Matthew 6, here on the Sermon on the Mount, verse number 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Alms being that above and beyond a tithe. Alms given, as I understand it, for those, for the help of others that are in need. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Simplicity. Not grandeur and openness and wanting the pomp of men. Do not those alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. It'll stop here. And the slap on the back, the praise of men, that'll be it. That'll be it. And it'll perish. It'll go away. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. It's like, as I understand it, it's kind of like a big brass container. It's kind of like a big spit tune. And they go up there, and some might have a bag of money that they would throw in. And they'd have the one that would go up there and slip up there and drop it in the middle. For it made as little noise as possible. Maybe you have the one that would go up there and just set it inside of it. No noise. When nobody was looking. Maybe get there early. Maybe get there late and just put it in there. No noise. Walk away. Not worried about what people saw. But then there were those that would come in. The Lord said He had witnessed it. That's the reason He said we're susceptible to it. They came in and they took the bag of money and they made sure it ricocheted off the side. Clang. 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 Maybe there would be those that would be so bold to take the bag of money and open it up and let every coin hit the rim. Bing, 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 bing. Don't sound the trumpet. Don't sound the trumpet before thee, verse 2, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It stops there. Well, brother, you put in a bunch. Yeah. Yeah, I really felt led to today. That'll be the end of it. There'll be no more. There'll be no more. That'll be the end of it. Oh, but for the one that just kind of slipped in and took it and just put it down inside, no noise, and then walked on off. Somebody that was watching said, boy, they didn't make a show. Others that took up the collection said, wow, look how much we took up today. A lot of folks are going to eat today. A lot of folks are going to have clothes today. But when thou doest alms, verse 3, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Secretive. Secretive. that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Do we believe it? See? Do we believe it? No. God won't do that. He doesn't give a lick about what I give for whatever. I've got to make my own blow. I've got to make my own statement. I've got to get that pride and that promotion and those accolades. I've got to get them for myself. You know the saying, he who bloweth not his own horn shall not have it tooted. You ever heard that one? He who bloweth not his own horn shall not have it blown. All right, that's a dukeism. But, you know, it's not that way, is it? It's not that way with the Lord. Do we trust the Lord such that we can give completely in secret, nobody knowing, counting that the Lord will bless? Here's the thing with the blessing of the Lord. He'll bless here, and He'll bless on the other side too, won't He? Amen. Amen. Do we have faith? Do we have faith to believe that He will do so? Look over here in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Oh, I told you, I mentioned here recently about that chapter in 1st or 2nd Corinthians about speaking about the unspeakable gift of the Lord. And that gift is that we have been given to, we that have been given to in salvation and blessing of the Lord, and the blessing, the unspeakable gift of the Lord is that sinners like we are able to give. So we preach this morning, be able to give the gospel. Be able to witness to other sinners about how the Lord saved us and how He can save them. Be able to give to others to be able to help them from the blessing that the Lord has given us. Here in Luke chapter 21, let's read it here at the beginning of the chapter. Luke 21, and He, that is Jesus, verse number 1, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. It's almost like it's a spectator sport, isn't it? They would put the trumpet, put the vessel up there, and let's sit back and see who's going to give today. Bang, bang, rrr, bouncing off of the rim. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. I mean, that's like scrapings. That's like nothing. Look at the Lord's economy. And he said to his disciples that are beside him, they're sitting there as they watch, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. Listen, to we that have been blessed, to you that have been blessed of the Lord says, give with simplicity. He says what? This poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. You know, that's the reason that one man given 100 when he's only got 200, and one woman given 1,000 when she's got 100,000, the Lord doesn't look at that she gave more than he. But it's out of need. Now, the one that had 100,000, if he gave 99, that'd be a different story, wouldn't it? But just because there's wealth doesn't mean that the giving's in proportion, or I mean, it's estimated by the Lord the same. The Lord said she put in more than all of them put together today, more than they all. Because they gave of their abundance. They went home and nothing changed at home. But she, of her penury, had cast in all the living that she had. She put in every bit. When she was done, the bag was empty, and there's nothing at home in the chest. And the Lord said, I'll reckon it. I will reckon it. We think about the Lord and how the Lord gave. And these examples, we'll take a look at 3 examples here. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark 8:22. Look at how the Lord gave. during the time of his ministry. Listen to how what the Lord says. And look at these gifts that he gives to these people. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him," They said, "Heal this man, touch him, and he'll be healed." And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town." This man was blind. Now, if you're blind and the Lord visits you and gives you your clear sight, are you going to be happy or sad? Are you going to be thankful, or are you just going to be deadpan, straight-faced? You're going to be rejoicing, aren't you? And what's going to happen? You're going to want to tell everybody you know. What did the Lord tell him? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell a soul. Don't you find that interesting? Now, what did the man go and do? He told everybody he knew. He did. And that's the way it is with salvation. Folks won't be able to keep it within themselves. Take a look over here at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 40. Mark 1:40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you want to, I can be free of this leprosy." All you've got to do, you can do it. All you got to do is want to. That's it. You got the power. I know you got the power. There's no question you've got the power and the ability. All you have to do is want to change me. It's not a thing that he's saying, all you got to do is want to try. Right? You come to me and you say, "Well, I got this problem with blah, blah, such and such thing." I say, "Well, I'll try to help you fix it." We would want to. But I can't necessarily guarantee you that I can. All right? Depending on how bad it's been crashed. Right? But the man says it's not a matter of if you can or not. All that lacks is that you want to. That you want to. And so, Jesus, verse 41, was moved with compassion and put forth his hand to a leper and touched him and saith unto him, "I want to, I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. It was done. The man is healed completely of leprosy, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him forthwith and sent him away and said unto him, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself unto the priest," because that's what you need to do to be able to get back into town, to get them out back amongst your own, "and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." The Lord healed that man of leprosy. And ultimately, if that leprosy progressed, it would kill him. It had separated him from his family. It had separated him from his community. It had separated him from the synagogue. And the Lord says, "Yeah, I want to." And he heals the man. And he says, "Go do what you got to do to be able to go back in town. But don't tell anybody else. Don't tell a soul." Now, isn't that a gift? Isn't that a gift? I mean, it's a type of how the Lord saves us from sin. We're ate up with it. It's killing us. It's estranged us from God. And the Lord comes and visits, convicts and saves a sinner and makes him a child. Going from being an alien to a child of the Lord. It's a type of that. Listen, verse 45. "But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." You know, you get some heart surgeon You get a hospital that's really, really good with doing a certain kind of heart surgery or a certain kind of brain surgery, or you get a hospital that's really, really good and they have great success in dealing with cancer. Do they just keep it to themselves? They advertise, don't they? They tell it abroad. They'll put it on the TV station, put it on the radio station, put it on the internet, because they want to take their art and what they've been blessed to do, and they want to spread it around. The Lord healed the man of leprosy. He healed the man of blindness. And he said, don't tell a soul. Don't tell a soul. A gift given. Oh, what an alms given. But the Lord says, don't worry about telling anybody. Mark chapter 5. Take a look over here. Mark chapter 5. Here, the daughter of Jairus, 12 years old, word has been brought to the Lord that she's dead. He's healed this other lady that had faith that she could just touch the hem of his garment. She was whole of her plague. The Lord told her to go in peace. In verse 35, we pick it up. And while he yet spake, the Lord spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, well, sorry, bud. We tried. Circumstances prevailed. I'm sorry. No, he didn't say that, did he? No. Be not afraid. Only believe. Not just strain to believe. No, the Lord's saying, believe in me. Believe what I have told you. Believe what I have told you will be. Believe in me. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. That's the way death is to the Lord. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithai cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose. She obeyed, didn't she? She was dead, and she obeyed. How about you that are here this afternoon and not saved? Will you obey the Lord? Will you hearken and obey the Lord? Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. We had never seen it like this before. We have never seen it like this before. Old Jairus, being a ruler in the synagogue, he's thinking back into the Old Testament scriptures, right? Who was it? Was it Elijah? Was it Elisha? One of the two raised one from the dead, Elisha? Double portion of spirit? Who else raised somebody from the dead? Yeah, Jairus is thinking back. In the account of the Old Testament scriptures, who was there that was brought back from the dead? What? There's maybe one case, right? He knows that. And this man, Jesus, is able to bring back his daughter from the dead. They were astonished with great astonishment. And here's the Lord. Tell everybody you know. I want them to be bragging about me all through Galilee, Judea, and Samaria. I want the word to go out and be known that if you need healing, come to me. No. He came to do what the Father gave him to do, and he did it in simplicity. Amen? He did it in simplicity. Oh, what a gift when your daughter is laying there dead, and the Lord raises her from the dead. Oh, what an alms, huh? Oh, what an alms, what a miracle that the Lord worked on behalf of me, my family, my daughter. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded something that something should be given her to eat. He said, don't tell a soul. You know how impossible that would be to do? Grandma's out there. She's been crying. And the little girl comes out walking out there. Can't tell you. See, they couldn't contain themselves. But look at what the Lord said. Don't tell a soul. Don't tell a soul. Just enjoy the alms as the Lord gave in simplicity. Back in James chapter 1. Let the brother, verse number 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted by the Lord, but the rich in that he is made low. Be able to be used of the Lord and that which the Lord has given to him. To use it in simplicity, to use what God has blessed with for the pursuit of the kingdom of God. And that be the heart's desire, knowing that he is no greater man than any other, but just a man that the Lord has touched and blessed with this place, this station in life. And let that man take it and use it for the honor and glory and service of his Savior. In simplicity. For the Son, but let the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth it, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Next time, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, being low or being rich. There's a temptation in both. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. May the Lord help us to see the Lord's economy, how the Lord wants us to operate and behave, how the Lord wants us to be like Him, like Christ, to walk like Christ. And we've been given a blessing that we can give, that we do it in simplicity. To realize how poor we indeed are without the Lord and how He's lifted us up. Oh, that we see those things right. When we see them right, and we see how the Lord wants us to be, then we'll have peace in walking with the Lord. We'll have enjoyment to know what our place is with the Lord and the purpose and plan that He has for our life. We'll have good fellowship with the Lord when we see that and see what He says about it. To you that are not saved, you need Jesus as your Savior. You need to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're guilty before God. The Word of God says it. It's true. It's true. You need to know it. God already knows it. We that are saved, we already know it, don't we? We found ourselves at the time the Lord visited us. We saw that we were guilty. We know it. God knows it. The thing is you need to know it. And confess it to the Lord. You are guilty. You are condemned. You do need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Oh, don't let the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the world and the thing that you would hang on to deter you from seeing Jesus as the only forgiver of sins and sinners. Look to Him. Trust Him.